You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, and please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from Locked On MLB, this network team of local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On MLB podcast today on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll kind of dive it back because we were, you know, talking big picture of who's to blame and kind of just reflecting a few years. Yesterday, I crossed over with Locked On Giants. His name is Ben Kaspic, the guy who does the Locked On Giants podcast. And he, you know, I was crossing over with him, not because the Phillies are playing the Giants right now, but because of how good of a season they're having. And obviously how good of a season, you know, our good old friend Gabe Kapler's having, and basically a shoe-in for manager of the year. Right. And I was thinking about like his era in Philly and his era now in San Francisco. And I heard you talking about the amount of decision-making like influence that a guy like Joe Girardi has. And I know you've only been covering this team down at the ballpark for the past 2 years with Girardi, but you know, you're in and around people who have been covering this team well before, or, you know, during and before Kapler. And, you know, I'm sure I've heard a variety of things. How much, cause he asked me this and I was like, you know, we really don't know. I have a sense for this, but I'm going to have to ask someone who would know better than I would. Like, how much power, like he was talking basically about how much power they've given Kapler and Farhan Zaidi, and basically saying like, go create your team. And they want like diversity in the clubhouse, and you're going to go build a team, and Kapler gets to assemble his staff, and the presentation of things like the curveball machine and the analytics has been really, really strong, and they're all buying in. And that never seemed to happen here. I think we're all in agreement that Kapler wasn't the problem. Clearly he's not holding the Giants back, and there were bigger issues at stake. But in terms of things that could have been done better, like, did they never give Kapler the full keys to the organization the way that they should have? Was he just unsure of how to present certain things? Like, what do we know now about the power they're giving Girardi versus the power they're giving Kapler, or what we've seen basically based upon the direction of the two organizations that have gone in totally, I don't want to say opposite directions, because the Phillies have stayed around that 500 marker, but the Giants have basically been propelled ever since.
I don't know if it's necessarily about power. I feel like, and I read an article from The Athletic that kind of profiled Kapler and, you know, his transformation into being manager of the year. He reflected on a lot of the things that went wrong in Philly and said, this isn't the way to manage a team, and kind of, and I guess like credit to him for, you know, being self-critical and making adjustments and being self-aware and understanding what went wrong. But I don't know if it's necessarily about power, but I feel like you go even back to spring training and kind of reflect on the power that Joe Girardi has over the roster, like bringing Torreyes in and then David Hale being on the roster for as long as he has been. I think Dave Dombrowski is a president of baseball operations that believes in the manager managing a team and not the front office, you know, giving him a lineup card or, you know, whatever the, you know, the powerful front offices like to do. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Girardi does have power with the team. I don't know if like Kapler had like a lack of power. It's more like a lack of trust. And partly it's because Girardi has managed the Yankees for so long and Kapler is this new manager. And I don't know, I think a lot about, you know, the way media is set up now. A lot of the reasons why we know what went wrong with Kapler is because reporters were in the clubhouse, like people were able to figure out things were wrong. And then we don't really know that for sure with Girardi. So, you know, that stuff kind of benefits the managers. And so it's hard to say for, you know, in that perspective.
Makes sense. When you look back on, you were mentioning, by the way, the, you know, influence of the, you know, different teams. I had to like think about, he was like, hey, did he get to pick his own coaching staff? And I forgot that Rob Thompson was the bench coach for Kapler. Like, that's like a Girardi move. I was like, wow, he was here. Like, it doesn't, like, I can't believe he survived that change with all the different changes they've had at pitching and hitting coach, and whatever else. 11 games to go. You mentioned that, you know, they probably need to get within a game and a half here of the Braves, even if they find themselves within a half a game on the final day of the season. Never good if you're relying on the Colorado Rockies to win, not in a game 163, but on that Monday that's usually reserved for game 163s. Short of just, hey, they need to win games or take care of business against losing teams, what needs to happen here? We have one more cycle through this pitching rotation here in the final homestand of the year. Wheeler goes tonight, and you have basically just 1 through 5 Orioles and Pirates to set up for that series against the Braves. What that maybe you haven't seen needs to happen in these next 5 games? You can only you can't control what the Braves do, but to put themselves in position, I mean, are we looking at, they need to go 4-1, potentially 5-0 to set themselves up for that Braves series? And what needs to happen within those games to hit that?
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, TV shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content, it varies by package. Slow is just right if you're on vacation. A sloth or describing QuickBooks. More like slow books. It sucks you in and it slows you down in the manual process. Integration difficulties and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your process and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since making the switch over to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockedon right now. Get special financing at netsuite.com/lockedon. One last time, that's netsuite.com/lockedon.
Yeah, I think 4-1 is pretty good. You know, 3-2 is not ideal, but they might still have a chance depending on what the Braves do. But, you know, these last couple times through the rotation, I'd really like to see Aaron Nola have a strong finish. There weren't a lot of times this year where he kind of put together a string of good starts. It was more of, you know, a shutout there and then a bad pitching performance afterwards and then maybe a couple good ones. But it would be good to see him finish off strong, especially because he has this reputation of being a bad pitcher in September, being a bad pitcher in big games. So that should make the Phillies a little more relaxed about, you know, him coming back next year and bouncing back. It would be nice to see Zach Wheeler finish out the season strong as well. I know the last time he talked, you know, he's asked a lot about getting over 200 innings and how he feels, if he's tired, and he pretty much kind of let on and said, yeah, I might be a little tired. It's a little hard to get to 97. It's a little hard to kind of hone in on command when he's logged up as many innings as he has. So it's a good sign if Wheeler could get through that and pitch a good game. I'd obviously also like to see Harper kind of solidify that MVP, you know, that MVP trophy. But I think he'll do that. He kind of went in a little skid the last couple of days. But if they're gonna get to the playoffs, then Harper's got to hit well. Other than that, I kind of expect what I already see, which is, you know, you take a look at the lineup. Didi has pretty much been a non-factor all year. Freddie Galvez has actually been surprisingly really good. JT has struggled at some point. So it'll be nice for the Phillies to kind of go on that offensive stretch that they had, you know, in early August when they didn't have Reese and everybody was just somehow finding a way to hit. And I've been really impressed with the way the bullpen has looked. I know, you know, people say, oh, it's like 30 blown saves, but they did a really good job yesterday, considering, you know, the fact that they've done a whole bunch of bullpen games and they've been playing in a lot of close games. So a lot of their high leverage guys have been used pretty often. But Alvarado, I've been really impressed with him. He was a guy that just somehow, every time he went out, you expect him to walk a couple guys, but he's throwing strikes. He's getting guys to miss bats. He's inducing contact. So just in general, I'd like to see them finish strong no matter what, even if they don't make the playoffs, and kind of see guys who, you know, maybe might not be like solidified on the roster, kind of solidify their spot. I know this isn't going to happen because I talked about how Girardi kind of prefers his veterans over some of the young guys that might have a spot on the roster. But I would like to see a guy like Matt Beerling really continue to make his impression. I know Joe Girardi Sunday talked about, you know, they're really paying attention to what Matt Beerling is doing, and maybe he could end up with a spot on the bench next year, even in the starting outfield. But yeah, those are just a couple things that I'd like to see over the last couple weeks.
You know, when we were talking about what was disappointing about this season, we didn't mention specific players who had had disappointing years, and you hit on a few of them right there. You know, Aaron Nola has been, obviously, in terms of expectations, I would argue the most disappointing Philly on the team. Didi Gregorius, for a guy that they had an option to give a qualifying offer for, you know, a season ago, and they go with the 2-year contract, and he's still supposed to be here next year, has just not really been good on either side. And it's led to them going and getting Freddie Galvis or overexposing Ronald Torres, or even a guy like Andrew McCutchen, who had a brutal start, got really, really good, and then kind of came back down to life. Like, who is solidified? Like, who is a guarantee to come back next year? Who should not be back next year, regardless of the contract status? And who have been the greatest disappointments or surprise stories, in your opinion, on this year's Phillies team?
Yeah, obviously Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto. Segura, maybe a little bit of a question mark, because people could say, oh, they could, you know, trade him because his value is pretty high right now because he had a very good season. But I really do think Segura is more valuable to them playing for them as opposed to a trade. He is an elite second baseman. He's been a pretty good hitter, so I do think he's going to be back next year. Alec Bohm, he'll be back, but I don't think he'll be playing third base.
Bohm's another one, guy who, yeah, I mean, talk about the expectations versus reality. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see McCutchen being back, just because they need someone who's more consistent at the plate, and they also need someone who could play a better left field. Somebody younger too. Odubel Herrera, his situation is a little strange just because he's arbitration eligible and he's also like a free agent, but I do think they need more out of the leadoff spot. I do think they need more out of center field. So I wouldn't think he would be back. Didi is strange because I really don't think that he should be on the team next year, just because he was so bad this year. But at the same time, the tendency for this team is to kind of keep those guys that have been struggling that are on these guaranteed deals and find a spot for them, whether it be like, you know, the Matt Joyce or even like Travis Jankowski. Like, I do think they should probably be creative and try to move Didi at some point this year, or even just pay him to not play. But yeah, that's kind of who I could think about who is going to be on the team, who isn't. Greatest disappointments, I would say Nola is a big one, just because they really needed him to pitch a lot better, and he hasn't. It's strange because it's not like he's not striking out guys or he's giving up a lot of walks. It's just that he can't induce contact the way that he did in 2018. And he's just really missing his spots badly. And that's why he's getting into these really tough innings. And then his outings go from him like throwing 4 shutout innings to him blowing up in the fifth. So they're going to need a bounce back for him. I think you can expect a bounce back just because his stuff is still there. It's just he needs to clean up the mistakes. Didi obviously has been a huge disappointment, just because I see Didi as the rally killer, because it feels like they would get guys in front of him on, and then he just can't bring them in, which that didn't happen last year. He's also, he hasn't been good defensively. It's really killed them. It was reasonable to expect that Alec Bohm was somehow going to regress, just because you can't hit 330, you know, from 2020 to 2021, but it's really stunning to see how much he struggled against fastballs and just how lost he looked at the plate. He's kind of in that weird, I don't know if it's as bad as Scott Kingery, but he's in that weird spot where he doesn't really have a spot and there's a lot of expectations on him and they don't really know what to do. And it's going to be interesting to see what they actually do. I do think he could possibly find a spot in the outfield. I don't know. He's not good enough to play third base. I don't know if he's good enough to play first base, because I would say that's Reese's spot. I'm very hesitant to kind of pencil a guy in and say he's a DH, just because they have so many older players and they need to switch them out occasionally if there is a DH, which there'll probably be. But yeah, there's been a lot of disappointing players. It's just been disappointing the fact that they don't have a lot of depth, and that's pretty much why they are where they are right now.
I share a bed with a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. I should explain. When I heard how many elite athletes sleep on Molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I ordered one for myself, and they were spot on. I'm no elite athlete. I do, you know, dabble in some baseball. Sometimes I'll play some pickup basketball, but I'm not like these pro athletes. And the best part is that, you know, whether you're exercising frequently, infrequently, I bet you experience, you know, hot night sweats, wake up with a sore, stiff back or neck. Well, not with Molecule Mattress. Molecule Sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch, not like other foam mattresses. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool all night. It has zone reflex layers that adjust with me in all my weird sleep positions, so I'm never awoken with this stiff neck or that sore back that I mentioned before. And it's antimicrobial. Molecule Mattress is how elite athletes and myself, Dan Wilson, get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule Mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, just return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. You can save 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. They have everything you can need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even that new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com.
Yeah, and it's, you know, as I'm listening to you kind of list through all those guys, like, you think about if Bohm is half of what anyone expected him to be, or if Nola was half of what anyone expected him to be, you know, we were having that, still having the ace debate, you know, early in the season. If any of these things go right, you could say, all right, maybe they're in first place in the NL East. And it's just kind of wildly disappointing, because it feels like this was a huge down year for the Braves, which everyone just kind of assumed. I mean, you had the Mets make a big splash this offseason with new ownership and the Lindor contract the night before the season starts. And you're looking at the Braves saying, well, they are the defending NL East champs, but you're assuming that probably the Braves, but one of those two teams would be it. And the Phillies would kind of be this third team. The NL East would be this really strong division. It wasn't. And the fact that they still might not win the division just makes it that much more frustrating kind of to me. Also, mystery life question, if you can answer this, be my guest. When they went that stretch where Didi was batting behind Bryce Harper, why every opposing manager didn't just throw up a four instantly? For the life of me, I'll never really understand. Like, I don't even understand why Bryce Harper gets pitches to hit now, but when Didi was batting behind Bryce, that never made any sense to me, why Bryce continued to still find ways on bait. Like, I guess they were just pitching around him, but he still had a few homers in that stretch. It never made any sense to me at all, because I think Didi's just been like a huge dead weight in this lineup. And you're right, he feels like the rally killer.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about just Harper getting pitches to hit in general. Pitchers are competitors, managers are competitors, even if it makes sense to pitch around a guy. I think sometimes pitchers have this belief that no matter how good the hitter they're facing, they could get him out somehow, even with Harper and Didi hitting behind him, even if it makes sense. Oh, yeah.
Like ego's getting in the way of what's actually the smart move. It's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I kind of see it, but I completely like taken that whole part of the season out of my mind that Didi hit behind Bryce. And oh, that's, and I'm just looking at like, I mean, JT's fine. I guess it would be ideal if he's not hitting fourth, but, and he provided good protection yesterday with that walk-off hit, but, and McCutcheon's hitting fifth and he's struggling a lot, but there is a left-hander on the mound. So that's a good sign, but yeah, it's like I said before, it's incredible what Harper's doing, because you just look at the lineup on a daily basis and say like, wow, how are the Phillies still in it at this point in the season?
Final topic I kind of have to run by you here. And again, not looking too far ahead to next season, because there are 11 games in front of the Phillies here and they could, you know, have a chance to still be in the playoff race, or they are still in the playoff race, still have a chance to make it to the postseason or live beyond October 3rd, which is the final day of the season, game 162. In terms of next year, is it a foregone conclusion in your mind that there will be a designated hitter in the National League? And on top of that, how concerned should fans be about a potential labor dispute, if you have any insight to share on that topic?
Yeah, if there is a season next year, I do think there'll be a DH, but it's crazy how we've kind of put it out of our mind of, you know, if 2022 will even happen, just because if you go back to the labor disputes before the 2020 season, they were just so intense and it's hard to see the two sides coming together to put on a 162 season next year. So I'd be pleasantly surprised, you know, maybe they come up with an agreement just to get the season started, but I'd be pleasantly surprised if this all gets tidied up relatively easily, just because the two sides are, there's a lot of tension. So I would be very surprised if there's no season next year, just because both the players and the owners have lost so much money over the last couple of years that they do have an incentive to at least play. So I do think labor issues will dominate this offseason, and it's going to suck because it sucked the last time we were getting through this. But yeah, there'll be a DH. I still don't understand why there wasn't a DH this year, but labor disputes, it might push back opening day. I don't think it'll take out the whole season.
If you had to, make a bet on it right now at even odds, so they start spring training, Clearwater pitchers and catchers in mid-February, are we looking at least a delay into that?
I think there's a delay.
That's kind of the sense that I've been getting too, but yeah. I figured I'd get your take on that as well. Destiny Legardo, deputy editorial director at PhilliesNation.com. Destiny, what can the people, the listeners, the followers look forward to coming up? Hey, you can, you know, plug your Twitter and what you've been doing over at Phillies Nation, but anything special coming up here in the next few weeks as the season wraps up and maybe they find a way to get in the playoffs?
Yeah, you can follow me at Destiny_Lugardo, DESTINY_LUGARDO. I'm not on Twitter as much as I either should, just because Twitter kind of sucks. But I guess one thing that's really exciting is that I'm going to Atlanta next week to cover the big series. Huge series. So hopefully you get some insight from me. It'll be like they're just another beat writer there. So it'll be really, hopefully it's exciting. Hopefully it leads to a possible playoff push. But yeah, I'm very excited to cover that series.
There you go. Destiny, thank you so much for your time. Always fun. And again, hopefully, you know, we are talking about a team that surprises us both and makes it into October.
Yeah, hopefully.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.